Friday. Well, Lily, would you mind praying for a word? Amen. Amen. Yeah, can't forget that. That wouldn't have worked. And in Jesus' name, she forgot to say that almost in the prayer. But she caught herself. The cool thing is that word there, praying in Jesus' name, really means pray as though you were Him. That's Jesus. So we don't have to say in Jesus' name that we're saying a name, but He said, ask the Father anything in My name and He'll do it. Until now you've asked for nothing. Ask and He'll do it. Not because I did it, but because you did it, right? Because you're in Christ, when you pray the Lord, if He loves you with the same love that He has for the Son, then when you speak to Him, it's with that same authority as Jesus asking, right? Helps when you pray, because if you've ever been like me, some kind of sheepish prayer we pray sometime, you know, but that's what makes us confident, and we pray with authority because we pray as though our voice is one with His, which is really true. It's kind of what I'm going to talk about today. The Lord was reminding me that on the way in. You know, the kingdom of God is all around us. It's within us, Jesus said. The kingdom of God is here. It's in you. And it's all around you, right? That we're in the kingdom of God. That's not somewhere we're going to go one day. We're just not going to have these filters. It's just another dimension. Because if angels can be around us, Scripture says all the saints are around us and they're around the table, right? Can't be that far away. Yeah, it's just got to be right here. And angels are here. And they minister, and, you know, they don't catch like an angel subway to get here. Is that the thing that goes under the ground? Is that called a subway? Also a sandwich place too, isn't it? I was thinking, but it's called a subway, yeah. Or a train, or some kind of a Concorde jet type thing. They're just immediately here, right? Standing in our midst. But the word says, this is out of Isaiah 62, for Zion's sake, we'll say, for your sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep quiet until our righteousness goes forth like brightness and salvation like a torch that is burning. You see, that is who we are in Christ. He said, I'm not going to be quiet. I'm going to keep talking until this thing about who you are, your identity, you get to know it. And guess what? That's going to be for eternity. So in other words, He's not going to quit talking, that He always talks. But when I was thinking about this, because on the way in, this is where I've started with this, we got behind an 18-wheeler, and on the back of it was 29. So I knew it was one of those words from the Lord that 29 meant that would be Psalm 29. There'd be a word from that first He wanted to speak to me and then to give to you guys. And it's a real powerful thing about the word or the voice of God. You know, in Revelation chapter 1, when John sees, he gets a picture of Jesus. I have to set this down. He's called the voice, right? This amazing thing he saw, this kind of a fearful thing as far as just fear of not running from, but just this awe. Then I turned to see the voice which was speaking. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. His head and his hair were like white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow. and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. Right? Probably would happen to all of us. This is who Jesus is. In chapter 19 of Revelation, he speaks about, and from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And he's talking about on our enemies, right? So you see this picture of Jesus with his being the voice. His voice is like the sound of, I think of Niagara Falls, even though, how many of you have been there? I've never been there. But I've heard that you can hear it a pretty good ways away. You can hear the sound way before you get there. The sound of many waters. This is the voice of God when he speaks to us. And he's called, Jesus is called the Word of God, right? He is the very Word of God. He speaks. This is kind of in my mind how it works. Someone said it, or I read it somewhere, that even in creation, the Father thinks it, right? Jesus speaks it, and the Holy Spirit does it. Okay? If you think about creation and being there when said the Holy Spirit was over many waters and the voice of the Lord was speaking and creation was happening, even the creation of man, you know, which I believe when Jesus was there, because some was there that blew into the nostrils of Adam, right? Which I believe was what's that called? The Old Testament. We see Christ in the Old Testament. Foreshadow. It's called a Christophany or something like that. So anyway, I'm not doing very good with words today, but just in the Old Testament, when you see Jesus, like Joshua saw him. Remember Joshua right before they went in and to Jericho, he had a picture of Jesus, you know, with a sword and everything. So it was just one of those places. But there's so much he tells us about his word. That's really so important. When we are given a word by God, when he speaks to us, remember, God is relational. Everything he does is relational. Okay, it's not about here's a to-do list for the day, or here's what I want you to do over here. It's relational. Right? When Jesus said, I only do the things that I see the Father doing, and those I do. And it's the Father who's working in me. So that was relational, right? Same with us. And so when the Lord gives us a word, or there's a word spoken over our lives, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18 to fight this good fight of faith, remembering the prophecies spoken over your life. Right? That we fight, part of the warfare that we fight is declaring and speaking the prophetic word given to us by God. His word to us, right? We play a part of that. There's a powerful thing about sound that I'll share with you in a minute about our voice becoming one with the Lord's and speaking and proclaiming what he's saying and what he's doing. The voice is speaking. The two-edged sword is coming out of the mouth, right? When we open our mouth, even in Isaiah, it says about us opening our mouth and it like a two-edged sword coming out of our mouth, right? It's in there, trust me. I just read it earlier. I forgot to write it down, but it is in Isaiah. I think around 48 and 49. That's where I'm spending time today. Let's see. Yeah, 49, verse 1 of Isaiah. Listen to me, O islands, pay attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named me. Pretty cool, huh? That's for all of us. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. That when I speak the word of God, to speak the words of God, it is a sharp sword, right? So the sword comes out and breaks through. It can slay the enemy or for sure get him running, right? Tell him to get, and when a sword comes out of your mouth, and it's the word of the Lord. So I was reading this thing today about the power of sound and the power of sound waves. Let's see here. There's this, the Air Force has this stockpile of 11 million liters of this fire extinguishing foam, which contains things that are environmentally not good or damaging. But they've come up with this thing, this guy, and he uses these sound waves that create this chemical. It's called a sonochemical process that will break all of that stuff down, break it down back into nature. A sound wave, a sound. And this is a... It's S-O-N-O-L-Y-S-I-S, sonolysis. We'll just call it that. If I'm mispronouncing it, what she said. Yes. Relies on the process of cavitation, C-A-V-I-T-I-T-A-T-I-O-N, cavitation, okay, for its success. And this doctor said, under certain conditions, sound waves cause the formation of small bubbles that rapidly implode and release an intense shock wave that produces enormous amounts of heat energy and a variety of highly active radicals, which can completely destroy materials. Sound waves. There's this thing, I love watching the... Nature Channel animals, you know, Animal Planet, stuff like that, especially. My kids were little, Grace, I mean, that's, y'all know her. She, you know, thought she was a lion until she was about 5 or 6 years old. She'd run in and growling like a lion every day. And so we used to watch, I've watched thousands of hours of all these things. And there's a mantis shrimp. And a mantis shrimp has this little doodad around his mouth. And it will hit a crab, like a shell of a crab. This mantis shrimp about that long, you know, 5 or 6 inches long, and it'll hit that thing, and that shell of that crab will just break. They said it's more powerful than a .22 bullet. But it's using that process of the bubbles creating the heat, and the waves, the shock waves, the sound waves, to kill what it wants to eat. So I was thinking about that in the voice of the Lord. This is where the Psalm 29 comes in. And this starting in verse 3 of Psalm 29. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to calve, strips forest bare, where it wipes out. And in his temple, everything will say glory, right? It's powerful. You think the voice of the Lord and trees just shattering. You know, makes me think of like a nuclear atomic bomb going off now, whatever, the hydrogen bombs or whatever they got now. You've all seen pictures of that, you know, where it just boom, and it just, those waves go out. That's the voice of the Lord. And the voice of the Lord is creation. So make it personal with you that when the Lord gives you a promise and He gives you a word to stand on, right? You're joining your voice with His. And it's like that sound of many waters. It's like breaking, making a forest just stripping it bare, right? That's how powerful His word is, His voice is, when He speaks and He gives a promise. And sometimes in life when we are we're having to not cling to that promise like it's going to leave us, but we have to take that promise like Paul told Timothy, you know, take hold of eternal life. There's another place where he's saying, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold. I mean, grab this life within you, right? Which is the life of Christ. Grab it. Take hold of it. But there's times when you need to get up, stand up, whatever it looks like, and then you need to speak and you need to declare the Word of God in your life, right? Because it's just so powerful, you know? The enemy, it's a two-edged sword, right? So this sound of many waters or thundering sound where they can hear it for a long ways off, you know? Like, oh my gosh, he's saying or he's quoting what God promised him. There's something really, through faith and patience, we inherit promises, right? We're always looking. We're always speaking and declaring. And I'll tell you what, it will lift a burden off of you at times, you know? Because Scripture says, I don't know if you ever realize this or not in your own personal life, but every word of God is tested. Everyone. Every word of God and every word that God gives you is going to be tested, right? The testing is a good thing because in the testing, it builds your faith, right? Gives you more confidence in that word. Gives you confidence as you walk around. You're not where it says, you know, God hadn't given us a spirit of timidity, but a power and love and a sound mind, right? So when we stand up and declare the word of the Lord in our lives, or we walk around while we're praying and we speak forth what God has said over situations, a lot of times that's all that it takes to make it happen, right? So a word from the Lord to you is not something you just get and kind of, oh, it's sweet, you know, let me put it up on a shelf and put some dust it and, you know, maybe get down and look at it. No, man, that's a living word. The word, living word gave you that, and He wants you in union with Him who lives within you to speak forth that word. Very powerful, isn't it? The sound, that just blows me away about sound, how cool that is, about how powerful sound waves can be, you know, going up. Well, I think that's about all I had, because I needed to hear that for myself today, because I had to go back over some, when I woke up this morning, you ever awakened, or, what am I trying to say? Yeah, when you wake up, and things just are kind of out of sorts inside. Something's not right, you know. You feel frustrated or tired or real anxious or something is weighing on you really heavy, you know? And that was, I was like that this morning. I was just so, it was like a frustration. And I told TC, you know what I feel like doing? She said, no. I said, I feel like kicking that coffee table over. Just throwing things, you know? Because it was just frustration. And I needed to, oh, Lord, I need to get with you. And we need to talk about the source of this thing, you know? And I need to get your word on it. And I need to speak that word, you know? And as he always does, he's so faithful to do that. And just lamb blasted the enemy, you know? When we ring that bell out there, some of y'all probably don't know why we do that. It's not really to say, hey, service is starting, you know, everybody get ready. In church history, that bell was rung to let the enemy know that he is defeated and that the body and the blood of Christ, communion, is fixing to take place. It's to remind them that what happened on the cross 2,000 years ago is being revisited again, right? So it goes out, the sound goes out into the atmosphere to remind them that, hey, they're defeated, right? That no weapon formed against us will prosper and that we're fixing to commune with Jesus in a very special way. So it makes bells a little more, the ringing of that bell to me, like, is very special. You know, everything we do up here, there's a prophetic and symbolic thing of why we do what we do. We don't do it just to do it because we think, oh, that would look cool. It's a prophetic thing that we do, you know? Y'all can figure that one out with a sword right there where you preach from that thing. I still want to put wheels on each side of it because it just looks like, reminds me of Ben-Hur, you know, one of those chariots. We have some wheels on that thing, make it look like a chariot. So.